I am now very pleased to welcome our first guest speaker today, Mr. Enda Kenny, TD for Mayo. He has been a TD for Mayo West and Mayo since 1975 and has been leader of the Fine Gael party for the last 8 years. He served as Minister for Tourism and Trade for 3 years in the last coalition government in the 1990s, and under his jurisdiction, tourism and trade both did very well. He is now reckoned, I do not need to tell people in this room, by most of the pundits, as being the person who will be the Taoiseach for the Republic in about 2 months' time. So I'm immensely pleased to have Mr. Kenny here this morning, and I invite him to give him a warm welcome, and I invite you to speak. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cullum said to me outside, you have 30 seconds of an introduction and then do your piece. Mr. Chairman, Minister, Member of Parliament, MLAs, councillors and delegates. First of all, I want to say that it's a privilege and an honour indeed to be invited to address your annual conference here. This invitation comes actually at an opportune time in both parts of the island of Ireland, as both will go to the polls in the coming months. The outcome of these elections will actually have a significant implications for consolidating the peace process and strengthening the relationships between the institutions and the people in both parts of this island to enable us to meet the challenges that lie ahead. Before I deal with events of the year just started, I think I should just briefly reflect on the events of last year, particularly as they affected your own party. 2010 was a year of outstanding achievement for the Alliance Party. It was the 40th anniversary of your foundation. Your party leader, David Ford, was elected as Minister for Justice, and your deputy leader, Naomi Long, was elected as the first ever Alliance MP at Westminster. I congratulate them both. I congratulate them both, and I wish them the very best in their endeavours, and well done to you. Their respective elections to high office are not only huge personal achievements, they are indeed a just reward for the commitment and the dedication of the Alliance Party members who have worked for decades to promote the philosophy of reconciliation throughout the most difficult, most divisive and most bloody period of Northern Ireland's troubled history. The Alliance Party has had an unswerving commitment to the twin policy of partnership in government between both traditions in Northern Ireland and also friendly cooperation with the Republic of Ireland, and that has justifiably earned you the respect of both Dublin and London and played a hugely significant role in shaping the Good Friday Agreement. The implementation of this agreement has dramatically transformed life on the island of Ireland. However, if history has taught us anything, it is that we must always be vigilant and never be complacent. On the 9th of December 1973, as many of you will recall, an historic and imaginative political agreement was signed in Sunningdale. Tragically, that did not stand. Decades passed before we were able to construct a new agreement which embodied much of what was in the heart of Sunningdale. Unfortunately and tragically, as you're aware, in the intervening period, thousands of people either losing their lives or being seriously injured, primarily in Northern Ireland, but also in the Republic and in Britain, cast a shadow over life here. As well as a human cost, considerable damage was also inflicted on the economies and the reputations of both countries. Despite the fact that the current peace process enjoys the support of all government and opposition parties throughout Britain and Ireland, there are a number of dissidents that still remain in existence. Attacks carried out by these unrepresentative organisations increased by 70% last year and is an indication of their determination to undermine the current peace process. The Independent Monitoring Commission has repeatedly stated that these groups are actively recruiting and training young men in particular without any previous terrorist experience and are engaged in serious criminal activity like weapons acquisition. Now, if there is one message that I want to send out from this conference and my participation in it today, it is this. On March the 11th, 2011, if the people charge me with the responsibility of leading the next government, I pledge that that government will use every resource at its disposal to confront this threat. Our Minister for Justice will work hand in hand with the Assembly's Minister for Justice, and the Gardaí will continue their excellent cooperation with the PSNI to see that life should be able to continue as normal for the communities north and south. I want to point out and to commend the very successful work currently being done jointly by the security forces, and I want to mention in particular the smashing and the breaking up of bomb factories in Dromiskin, County Louth last month, and in Monastereven, County Kildare, earlier this month. That comes from not being complacent. It comes from good intelligence and being vigilant. The Good Friday Agreement was overwhelmingly endorsed by the ordinary people of this island in simultaneous referenda in both parts of Ireland. We will not allow their democratic right and their democratic will to be thwarted by any organisation or group, whatever its origins. We cannot overlook the direct links between organised crime and subversive organisations. In strengthening cooperation between our political, legal and security institutions, we can make an enormous contribution, not only to eliminating the threat of terrorism, but also to the apprehension of those that flood the towns and villages of the island of Ireland with drugs. This illegal trade is the major source of criminal activity and is responsible for wrecking the lives of thousands, particularly our young people. And furthermore, their expansion into the illicit trade of counterfeit cigarettes is costing jobs, damaging business, and depriving both exchequers of massive revenues at a time when we need it most. Tackling these fundamental issues has to be a joint priority of any new administrations that will emerge from the forthcoming elections. We must constantly monitor the resources that we make available to our frontline services who are confronting these evils. Another priority for our new governments must be to use the structure of the Good Friday Agreement to strengthen cooperation between our political institutions and also tackle the major economic and external policy developments that we need to address. I see four critical points here. Firstly, we are both experiencing a major economic recession and an accompanying high level of unemployment. We both need to increase our competitiveness. We both share an island on the periphery of Europe. We both belong to the European Union and should be able to seek benefit from a joint policy approach to current major EU policy initiatives. These will have an impact on important sectors in our respective economies, particularly when we make common cause. The Good Friday Agreement established six North-South implementation bodies. These bodies have been fostering economic cooperation between both parts of Ireland. In particular, for instance, Intertrade Ireland and Tourism Ireland have done excellent pioneering work in this area. It is my firm belief that the development and the making of an all-island economy using these elements of the agreement does offer tremendous opportunities to strengthen our competitiveness, to overcome our structural economic problems, to tackle unemployment, and to minimise our problems of peripherality and exploit the benefits of our joint membership of the European Union. I happen to be an elected Vice President of the European People's Party, which is the largest voting bloc in the Parliament, and from that family come the the president of the commission and the parliament itself, and that allows us at this point to have scope and direct access to many of the political leaders of government. And they do want, in a political sense, to be able to stand by and assist smaller countries. I often point out that the Republic was the last country of the Union to actually decide by referendum on the Lisbon Treaty. And that treaty gives the European Union the authority to achieve its potential with the Commission, the Parliament, and the Council, and see a new vision for a political union of 500 million people. In that sense, I can assure you that other leaders of other countries do want to stand by that treaty and allow for cooperation and assistance and encouragement for all countries to make a better place for themselves. After the Assembly elections and after the new Dáil elections, I would hope that both administrations can agree to work on a detailed strategy to help make these issues a reality for all our peoples. Elements of this strategy could include moving towards a harmonised corporate tax rate for the island, joint marketing of the island for tourism and attracting foreign investment, and building on what's already been done. I want to say that the Fine Gael party, which was the dominant party in government in the 94-97 Rainbow Coalition, was actually the government that introduced the 12.5% corporation tax rate in the Republic, because you weren't in a position to provide monies to companies in other forms, so tax concessions were given. And despite what President Sarkozy says, I want to assure you that insofar as we are concerned, the 12.5% corporation tax rate has been decided and put into the Lisbon Treaty by our people and will not be changed. This represents a fundamental cornerstone for foreign direct investment in the Republic. And to move from that in any circumstance would not only represent a shift from the amount actually paid through corporation tax rate, but in my view would represent a massive breach of trust for those who sign on in those circumstances. So in a European Union context, we should also consider developing a joint approach to influence the Common Agriculture and Structural Fund policies and their implementation post-2013. The population of the world is rising. There is clearly a need for further food production. We have on this island enormous potential in this area, and the forces are already gathering in terms of the changes to come through the Common Agricultural Policy and also for the structural funds. And on this island, we should look at a joint approach to maximising the potential and the benefit for the farming agri sector, for the economic boost that can come from that, for the thousands of jobs that can be created, and for the future prospects of a great number of people. And there are given its potential in the agri sector, given the fundamental basis upon which we can grow and produce food on this island, I see enormous potential in having a joint approach here, in respect of which we will get assistance from other countries. And when you take into account the situation of our respective economies, it is possible for us to make a strong bid for a share of the European Union structural funds for the development of the island economy during the 2013-2020 financial perspective. The Good Friday Agreement, in my view, was intended for use in this way, and we would be failing the people of the island if we did not fully exploit its potential to alleviate the economic difficulties and the hardships that too many families are currently experiencing. And none of this, none of it, would threaten the right of each part of Ireland to maintain its own chosen character and its own constitutional integrity. Now, we're faced in the Republic with an election on the 11th of March. And for the last 2.5 years, economics and banking situations and the financial perspectives have literally moved everything else off the pages of the news. And obviously, to rectify our economy, you've got to deal with that crisis and deal with that structural problem. But elections are not only about hard economics and about austerity programmes. They are about the hundreds of thousands of fragile lives and families in stress who have to live with the reality of distressed mortgages, of negative equity, of being unable to pay their bills, of being unable to find money for their for the facilities that they need for the education for their children, and very concerned and anxious about the future, about their security as people, and they look for that sense of leadership and hope and confidence that can lead the country out of the particular mess that it's in. And for me, that's what good politics is about, pointing the way to get the country working again, but also to point a way that politics actually works and reaches out to the difficulties and the concerns and the anxieties and the insecurities that so many people have when they see the implications of global financial movements and a crushing burden being placed on the taxpayer and the worker because of the evolution in the banking structure. When I was considering what to say here today, I reflected briefly on the changes over the last 40 years and the changing priorities and the challenges that have faced governments and politicians throughout Britain and Ireland. In the 70s and in the 80s, energy and focus was taken up with addressing the problem of violence and its consequences. In the 90s, the emphasis had shifted to addressing the root causes of terrorism, as well as its terrible consequences, and the need to construct new political institutions. These had to be politically inclusive. They had to address the complexity of relationships throughout the two islands, and they had to command the respect and the support of all our peoples. The fact that today my primary emphasis has been on economic issues, the normal agenda of stable democratic politics, is an indication of the real progress that we have made and how far we've moved on from the dark days of the past. However, no matter how much progress we have made, as I said in the beginning, there is no room for complacency. One of my real concerns is that the current peace process is too much a creature of the politicians. We have to ensure that ordinary citizens feel that they are stakeholders in this process as well. In other words, that the political decisions arrived at actually have a connection with ordinary people and their lives. The agreement provides for that, but it has never been fully implemented in that regard. As you're aware, Strand 2 of the agreement proposed the establishment of a North-South consultative forum to involve representatives of civil society from across the island. The intended objective was that they would provide advice to both administrations on social, on cultural, and on economic issues of an all-island cross-border nature. I believe that by drawing on the knowledge, the expertise, and the insights of civil society, we can construct a direct people-to-people experience which would be complementary to the government-to-government process. The involvement of civil society has been successfully and widely used by our partners within the European Union and has been regarded positively. It would bring a new dimension to the working of the agreement and would extend ownership of the process that people really feel part of a political system where politics is the servant of the people and not their master. The structures and the processes of the Good Friday Agreement are well-rooted and work well. However, their long-term security can only be guaranteed if it's accompanied by the establishment of real trust and real respect between people of differing traditions at community level. It should not be forgotten, and we should never forget, that two world wars occurred in Europe in the last century, during which millions of lives were lost and massive economic destruction took place. Those whose blood was lost on the fields of Europe resolved that it could never happen again. Instead of allowing difference to be the cause of conflicts, they chose instead to see diversity as an enriching contribution to the tapestry of a new Europe. No one was asked to abandon their cultural traditions or their beliefs. Instead, they learned to respect what difference means. The richness of diversity was used as the cement for the building blocks from which they constructed the new peaceful Europe to which we both belong. The success shows where it is possible to go if the political will exists. Peace building, as you know, has to be an integral part of institution building on this island, and it must be an integral part of all policy formation. Divisions will only be healed when true reconciliation takes place. I know that this is a priority for the Alliance Party members and also of many others inside and outside of politics working across the length and breadth of our island. I pledge myself to work alongside all of those to work to achieve this. The failure to achieve it keeps alive a nightmare that political instability might once again return to our island, particularly Northern Ireland. I want to do all in my power to ensure, in working with you, that this will never happen again. And I would say, at this crucial time in the development of the politics of the island of Ireland, I see a brilliant opportunity up ahead to change the way that our structures have been in the past, to change the mentality and the approach of our people towards the potential of the island of Ireland, and that we can say again and justify it that by good politics, by clear decisions, by strong and courageous but fair leadership, we can point out to the next generation that there is a future and an opportunity for them to work and live and rear their families on this island, if that be their wish. In fact, my political philosophy in one sentence for the work I do in the Republic is that by 2016, the centenary of the rising of 1916, when the first faltering steps towards economic independence were taken, is that by 2016 we should be able to demonstrate that we are the best small country in the world in which to do business, in which to raise a family, and which to grow old with dignity and with respect. I wish you every success with your conference. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here. I've met Minister David on many occasions in the past and members of your party, and look forward in whatever capacity to working with you for the future. Naturally, if the opportunity and the authority is given to me through the elections on the 11th of March, I would be very happy to continue to work very closely with the Alliance Party and other parties in the interests of the development of the communities of Northern Ireland and on the island of Ireland as we proceed to build a really strong economic future for our people. Thank you very much again.
Mr. Kenny, thank you very much indeed. That was probably the most important speech by any politician from the Republic of Ireland today, anywhere, in terms of what's coming, and that guarantee of friendship, mutual support, and a better future for everyone on the island. And I'm really taken by your vision for 2016. That's something that we can work with here. We have a decade of very serious anniversaries coming up. 1912, 1914, 1916, 1922, etc. And we really need to work out how to deal with those. So the words of Mr. Kenny are very heartening to hear. Thank you very much indeed. And we will watch with extremely keen interest how things go on in March in the Republic of Ireland. Thank you very much indeed.